This is Hades Ham Journal number 7. Hades Ham Journal is the ongoing saga of a new member of the Nouveau Poor, a former techno-yuppie fallen on interesting times. Her new home is a tribe of warehouse people called the Home for Aging Mutants, or Ham for short. They are aware that most people look at them as society's rejects, but in their case, they did the rejecting. Three of them have turned out to be cult celebrities, a trio of performance artists who have been coaxed out of hiding by a mysterious benefactor who calls himself Cookie Monster. This episode is called Dust to Dust. Hi there. Excuse me if I talk while I finish this wiring. This thing isn't supposed to blow up till Sunday, and if I lose track of what I'm doing, it might just go now. That would be non-optimal if you ask me. Well, I finally got into Lars's pants this week. I just wish they fit better. No, dear. Only in my dreams, I'm afraid. What happened was, he lent me a pair of his old overalls to go climbing around on this huge metal sculpture, what's it? He used to wear them back in Humpalumpa, Minnesota, but not anymore now that he's an angry young photographic chronicler of urban decadence. I really had the hots for him for a while, I guess. Unrequited, of course. Nothing to do but give up and get over it. Under it. Around it. I think it's mostly gone, thank God for small favors. I don't much like getting kicked into those other gears where all that matters is something you can't possibly have. Someday, though, I might just hitch up the dog sled and take trip up north there. See if they got any more like him rattling around loose. Speaking of loose, this rivet looks sort of iffy. Hey, Scotty, could you come here a minute? I tell you, it's pretty strange working on detonators again. I thought I'd done with explosives for good when I was released from employment with rock hard munitions. But life just gets its mind made up sometimes. C.M. Cartwright shows up and decides Skip, Scotty, and Damian, otherwise known as Dust to Dust, are long overdue for a comeback. And he decides they can't do it without me. I have managed to contribute in some small ways, and it feels better than I expected it to. Somebody said once that a person only really needs three things to be happy. Something to do, someone to love, and something to hope for. Hey, I got stuff to do now. One out of three ain't bad. Skip, Scotty, and Damian are one of those partnerships forged by fate. Three guys brought together by a love of seeing things fall apart. They used to have downtown Yahoo jobs. Bike messenger, grocery checker, radio repair. And they met because every time somebody tore down a building, all three of them were always there. With the same strange light in their eyes. Every plummeting chunk of mortar, every shattering pane of glass was a revelation to them. So they got together and started destroying things they scrounged up. They started in Scotty's mom's garage, which unfortunately didn't last too long after they made an early misjudgment of how long a chemical wash had to dry before they could light up cigarettes in the vicinity. Then for a while they'd lay waste to things at night in high school parking lots, careful to keep moving around. They thought the cops had busted them one night, but it turned out to be the rock band that the school had hired for the prom. The musicians thought that these guys were just the stage show they needed and offered part of their take from the prom, so they said okay, decided to call themselves Dust to Dust, and became the city's first demolition performance artists. It sure was an unforgettable prom. Made all the papers. Yeah, it was just too bad about the prom queen's flammable dress. Wasn't it supposed to be illegal to make clothes out of that stuff by then? But it got Dust to Dust the publicity they needed. They started doing public appearances, blowing up, burning down, knocking over, and ripping apart bigger and more elaborate things. Jungle gyms, abandoned cars. They tried to destroy this really awful-looking ornamental fountain. This fountain was so ugly, they got paid under the table to do it by some of the city's first families. But no matter what they tried on that thing, they couldn't make a dent in it at all. They say art is immortal, bad art will probably outlive the entire solar system. Then there was that whole city block in New York that they just assumed nobody would miss. As far as anyone ever heard, they assumed right. I heard about them when they crashed four unmanned full-size airplanes into an unexploded atomic missile in Nevada. There are lots, probably hundreds of those things lying around in the desert that, just like firecrackers, were duds that didn't go off. But that one, 30 years old, finally did. I didn't get to see it. I was way down in an underground bunker miles away trying to test something else, and it queered the hell out of my data, too. I was not pleased at the time. And now here I am, working for them. Though I tell myself I'm working for CM when they get too obnoxious. They're pretty antisocial guys. I guess maybe they have to be. Skip, oh, it's the worst. He's small and twisted with a permanent sneer on his face. He's usually their conceptual big idea guy. But he didn't think of this project. CM did. And I know it, so he's been really corrosive to me for the last 2 weeks. I avoid Skip whenever possible. Scotty, though somewhat bloated and lumbering, is more personable. He scrounges the materials and builds most of the constructions. You build enough things just knowing they're going to be blown to bits, and maybe you gain a certain serenity. Of the three of them, I guess I like Damien the best. He's the guy with the wires, and he seems pretty wired himself most of the time. He wears his hair very long and combed over his face. If you saw his face, perhaps you would understand why. But he was the one who figured out how to fiddle the coin box at the car wash so we could take warm, soapy showers. He got the lights to work in the building. Biff and Athena say he even set up a Christmas tree last year. Of course, then they blew it up. But they let everybody get their presents out of the way first. The working title for the upcoming performance is Unraveling the Iron Curtain. It'll be this huge wall made of these strange, nightmarish metal and concrete shapes, lashed together with barbed wire and chains and whatever. Lots of whatever. I convince them that they don't want their incendiaries and explosives placed where they'll do the most damage, but in between the weakest points so that the show will last longer. CM approves. Oh, darn, there goes the magnesium tape out of my pocket. I better get down there after it. I should find some gloves, too. Work my fingers to the bone. What do I get? Bony fingers. We roped everything off, but the kids still sneak in here. That really bothers me, so I've been sleeping in here, too. Bastille and Rodan and Yafet are way too young to be messing with this stuff. When I was their age, yeah, back before Eli Whitney invented the cotton gin smartass, I didn't even make my own cherry bombs till I was 7. CM's been discreetly in and out of here a couple times. Nobody's supposed to know we live here because the warehouse isn't ours and we don't pay rent or anything, but CM's footing the bill for this whole thing and seems cool in general. He just worships dust to dust and they like being worshipped. It was a little tense when he had to bring the insurance weenies from the performance site to inspect things. Oh, those guys were real pests. Scotty called them Jose and Hose B. I guess CM came up with a convincing story, though, and maybe some palms got crossed with silver, I wouldn't be surprised. But they were under the impression there was nothing amiss at all. Dealing with the authorities still makes me nervous. You just can't trust them any farther than you can see through your eyelids. I never thought I'd be talking like that, but there you go. So, catch Dust to Dust at the Civic Center on Sunday. We'll finish this thing up. And be there with bells on, whoever he is. Next week, all the way to hell. We'll be there, unless they find out.